نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. Just a note before beginning the topic for this evening, as a reminder for every one of us in this time of fitna, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based upon wisdom, decrees whatever He has decreed and executes His decree. And even if the human beings don't know the wisdom behind what Allah has decreed that befalls them or that comes to them of evil or good, indeed it is required of the believer to believe that Allah's decree, it is perfect and that it is good, even if what He has decreed sometimes brings harm to the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا أَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. That we should not think, we should not imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware of what the zalimun are doing. Don't imagine that Allah is ghafilan amma ya'malu zalimun. It is only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is delaying His response to them to a time, to a day in which the sight or the eyes will be staring from horror or fright. That is Yawmul Qiyamah. Indeed, whatever anyone does in this world, it is being recorded, and they are accountable for what they do, and everyone who does good will hope for a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they have iman, and whoever does evil, then they expect and are justified to receive the punishment or the just recompense for what they have done. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of whatever those who are unjust, the wrongdoers, are doing. The chapter that we want to discuss this evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, from Kitab al-Tawheed, الذي هو حق الله على العبيد, by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman al-Tamimi al-Najdi, rahimahullah. In this lecture, number 48, the chapter is entitled, ما جاء في منكري القدر. يعني what has been reported or what have been received concerning munkari al-qadr, those who deny, who make inkar or reject the divine decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed everything that happens in this world before it happens. What has been reported concerning munkari al-qadr? And here, before beginning the evidences that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah has mentioned, I would like to read a summary of this issue, or a summary of this chapter. Indeed, the topic of Al-Qadr wal-Qadha, it is a big topic and it requires many sittings, and in 1 hour we cannot discuss it. However, the topic of discussion this evening is not all of the opinions and the philosophies and deviation of the people concerning al-qadr, but what we are talking about is the ruling concerning those who deny it, and the warning against those who deny it, and the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of punishment for those who deny the divine decree. Al-Shaykh al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'a, in his ta'liqat al-mufid, his beneficial comment on Kitab al-Tawheed, he said, since al-Iman, the belief in al-Qadr, is one of the fundamentals of Iman. It is min usul al-Iman. It is a fundamental of Iman. For this reason, the author, al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, has placed this chapter here, because the belief or the acceptance and submission to the reality of al-Qadr al-Qadha, it is through it that a person achieves at-Tawheed. And it is through it that one negates al-Kufr. If one believes in al-Qadr, then Kufr is negated from him. And whoever believes in al-Qadr, he achieves at-Tawheed. Here al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, says that this chapter, ما جاء في منكر القدر, what has come concerning those who deny القدر, it means what has come of reports concerning الوعيد الشديد, the severe threat, والتحذير العقيد, and the certain definite warning of those who deny or reject القدر, the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says that the Muslims in the time of the Prophet ﷺ were believing in this divine decree. They had submitted themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepting it. And then something sprouted up in the end of the time of As-Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. A plant sprung up of deviation, and those people began to deny the Qadr. And they claimed that confirming Al-Qadr, it is in contradiction to Al-Adl. Whoever confirms the divine decree, it is a contradiction of justice. Yani the divine decree is unjust, according to those people who fell into that deviation. They said, how can all affairs be pre-decreed, pre-ordained, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes the sinful one or the disbelieving one for what they have done? If it is already pre-ordained, how can Allah punish them? This was the argument of those people who deviated, who misunderstood the correct belief of al-Qadr al-Qadha. It was their ignorance, and it was their falling astray and being deceived concerning this matter that led them to reject the divine decree. As for the people of truth, from amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and those who traveled on their path, who followed the way in belief and practice and in worship of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, that is the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They believed in the Qadr. They testified to the truthfulness and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pre-decreed all the affairs and has had it written that Allah has pre-decreed everything that will happen and that nothing happens in his kingdom except that He wills it. Nothing happens in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this universe except that Allah wills it. And this, of course, is in consideration of the correct belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the will of Allah, it is of two types, al-irada al-qawniya and al-irada al-shar'iyya. Al-irada al-qawniya means that will which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He decrees something to happen, He wills it to happen, and it must happen, even if it is something that is loved by Allah or that which is displeasing to Him. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed some things to happen, though it is not something that He loves, but He decrees it for wisdom. Therefore it must happen. This is the irada qawniya. As for the irada shar'iyya, it is that which Allah wills, that which Allah loves, which He has legislated for the people to do, which He has commanded the people to do, and He wills that the people do it. However, this will is of those things that it may happen or it may not happen. The people may do it or they might not do it. Yani the difference between these two things is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes wills something in His irada qawniya, His universal will, which it must happen. It must happen. And it happens for some wisdom, even if it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love, like kufr, spreading in the earth, and shirk, and disobedience, and sin, and the presence of shaitan. All of this Allah has decreed it in His universal will. Though it is not something loved by Allah, but he has decreed it for wisdom, to bring about some benefit that is known to Allah if it is not known to the people. As for his irada shar'iyya, his legal, legislated will, it is that which Allah has legislated, that which he has revealed to the prophets, ordering the people to do those things which he loved, believing, submitting to him, obeying him, praying, worshipping him, and so on. And that, of that will, it is that which happens, or it may not happen. The people may do it, or they may not do it. However, it is also part of Allah's will. So keeping this in mind, that there are two types of will for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can say that nothing happens in this universe except that it is by Allah's will, meaning His universal will. That is the will that the scholars of Islam said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهَ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. That whatever Allah wills, it will be. And whatever He does not will, it will not be. That means nothing can happen except by His will, according to this explanation of the scholars of the people of Sunnah, which is based on Quran and authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said that nothing happens in his universe except that he wills it. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed everything, and he has accounted for everything, and he is the one who knows everything. And Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, the great scholar of the people of Sunnah, he said, نَاظِرُوهُمْ بِالْعِلْمِ. Argue with them or debate with them بِالْعِلْمِ, by knowledge. Not knowledge meaning collecting knowledge and using that knowledge to argue with them. But here he means the point of ilm in the belief in qadr al-qadha. That there are four levels of qadr al-qadha. One of them is that Allah knows everything. And they have denied this, the people who deny qadr. Therefore, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, نَاظِرُوهُمْ بِالْعِلْمِ. On this point, argue with them. فَإِنْ أَقَرُّوا بِهِ خَصِمُوا وَإِنْ أَنْكَرُوهُ كَفَرُوا. So if they agree to it, to the point of ilm, that Allah knows everything, then you have overcome them. They have accepted it. That's what we want them to accept. And if they deny it, they say that Allah doesn't know things are going to happen until they happen, then this is the kufr of those who denied the qadr al-qadha. He said, if they deny it, then they have disbelieved. They are falling into kufr. Kufr that takes a person out of Islam. He said, they have disbelieved because they have attributed to Allah al-jahl wal-dalal. They have disbelieved. If they deny that Allah knows everything before it happens, then they have attributed to Allah ignorance. And this is a negation of so many ayahs in the Quran, from amongst them the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ, that indeed Allah has knowledge of everything, وَقَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything in His knowledge, and so on. He said, whoever attributes to Allah ignorance, that Allah doesn't know everything, that He doesn't know all of these things, then he has accused, or he has claimed some defect in the ayats of Allah, and for this reason that person is a kafir. They have denied what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated in the Quran. Then he says, after bringing some other evidences concerning qadr al-qadha, he said, that which is obligatory on the Muslim is to believe in al-qadr, the divine decree, and that believing in al-qadr, it includes four points, four matters. The first of them is ilm, ilmullah bil-ashya, that Allah knows everything, everything that will be, and everything that has happened, He knows everything before it comes into being. The second of them is kitabatuha, that Allah has had everything written in the divine decree. Number three, أَنَّهُ خَالِقْ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ وَمُقَدْرَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ, that Allah is the one who has created everything and the one who has decreed everything before it happens. And anything that happens in this universe, it is from the khalq, the creation of Allah, the creatures as well as the actions. And number four, أَنَّ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهَ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ, that whatever Allah willed, it will be. And whatever Allah does not will, it will never be. So whoever believes in these four levels, al-maratib, whoever believes in these four levels, then that person has believed in al-qadr. And whoever denies anything from those four levels, then he has denied something of al-qadr. Yani this is a summary of what Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah said concerning this chapter, Bab ma ja'a fi munkari al-qadr. Yani that which has been reported or narrated concerning those who deny al-qadr, the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which includes those things that he mentioned, that the divine decree according to the Muslims or the scholars of the people of Sunnah, the divine decree includes the belief that Allah's preordaining everything means that he knew everything that would happen. And he had it written down. It is recorded. And that nothing happens except by his will. And that whatever exists in this universe of the creatures or their actions or their characteristics, it is all created by Allah. Everything that exists, including the actions of the creatures, are Allah's creation. There's only one creator. There are no two creators, creator of good and creator of evil. There's only one creator, Al-Khaliq, Al-Wahid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And included in this third point, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing happens except by His will, we should also keep in mind that the people of Sunnah believe that the human being also has a will. But that will is subject to Allah's will. It is not an absolute will. But the human being does have a will, we affirm that. And for this reason, it is right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He revealed to the people the correct way, and called them to that which is good, and promised them His reward, and warned them against that which is evil, and threatened them with His punishment, and He gave them a will to choose right from wrong, and the ability to execute their will, then He calls them to account for what they do. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, the first evidence he mentions in this chapter, وَقَالَ ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ بِيَدِهِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ بِيَدِهِ, by the one in whose soul, in whose hand is the soul of Ibn Umar, لَوْ كَانَ لِأَحَدِهِمْ مِثْلُ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا ثُمَّ أَنْفَقَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا قَبِلَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ. يعني Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, one of the scholars from amongst Sahaba and one of the close companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he swore by Allah, by the one in whose hand is his soul, that لو كان لأحدهم مثل أحد ذهبا, if anyone, even of them, if he had gold in the amount of Uhud, the mountain of Uhud, that great tremendous mountain that stretches for miles in the city of Medina, if somebody had gold equal to the amount of Uhud, and they spent it all in the way of Allah, Allah would not accept it from them, unless and until they believe in Al-Qadr. And whoever denies Al-Qadr, then Allah would not accept from them their good deeds, whether it is charity, whether it is salat, whether it is whatever. Because whoever denies Al-Qadr, he has fallen into kufr, that takes a person out of Islam, and Allah doesn't accept the deed of the disbelievers. He said, I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul, that if any of them had gold equal to the amount of Uhud, and he spent it all in the way of Allah, مَا قَبِلَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ, Allah would never accept it from him, حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ, until he believes in Al-Qadr. ثُمَّ اسْتَدَلَّ بِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, then Abdullah ibn Umar, after making this statement, he gave a proof for what he is saying. He didn't just make a claim, but he gave a proof from that which are the clear proofs in Islam, that is from the Quran or from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ثم استدل بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he uses his proof, the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره, رواه مسلم. يعني عبد بن عمر, after making this statement that the deed of a person will never be accepted by Allah, no matter what they are, no matter what they do, no matter how much they have done, if they don't believe in Al-Qadr, he gave the proof for his statement that their deeds would not be accepted. The proof is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ that Al-Iman, true faith, yani the criterion to know if somebody has Iman, that brings them, that makes them a part of Islam, it is to believe in Allah, that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you believe in His angels, and that you believe in His books, His scriptures, the revelations, and that you believe in His messengers that He has sent, and the last day. And then he repeated, that is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, after saying in the beginning of that hadith, Al-Iman and tu'min billahi. And tu'min billahi he didn't say tu'min again. He didn't say to believe in the angels. He just said to believe in Allah and the angels and the books on the last day. But when he mentioned al-qadr, he repeated that word. And tu'mina bil-qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi. To emphasize the importance that it is a requirement to believe in al-qadr. The good, it's good and it's evil. Yani the good that comes from what Allah has decreed, as well as the evil that comes from it. Yani that which appears from the side of the creature as being something harmful or something evil. From the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is perfectly good, because there's no evil to be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His decreeing something, it is a good thing. However, what he has decreed, when it befalls the creature, it may be taken by that creature as something harmful or evil or bad. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim, and also in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi, and obviously the hadith is sahih. Quickly, the general meaning of this hadith, as Shaykh Al-Qarawi, Hafizahullah, mentions, is that in this narration, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma has made an oath. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ ابن عُمَر بِيَدِهِ. I swear by the one in whose hand is the soul of Ibn Umar. He made an oath, a qasam, swearing by Allah, that the human being, no matter what they spend of their wealth in charity, or whatever deeds, righteous deeds that they do, Allah will never accept it from them. If they do not testify to and affirm the reality of Al-Qadr, as it is understood by the people of Sunnah, as it was explained in the Quran, and as it is explained by the Prophet ﷺ, Allah will never accept from them their good deeds. And that is because Al-Iman in Qadr, it is one of the arkan of Iman, al-Sitta. It is one of the six main pillars of Islam, of Iman. One of the six main pillars of Iman. And therefore, whoever rejects any of these pillars, not to mention those things which are derived from these pillars, but these foundations themselves, whoever rejects one of them, then that person doesn't have true Iman. He said that to believe in Al-Qadr is one of the six pillars of Iman. Therefore, to deny it, to deny that one, is to deny all of them, to deny one, to negate one's Iman. And that person then becomes a kafir. They become one who does not have taqwa, and Allah doesn't accept, except from the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa. Then Ibn Umar used as a proof for his statement, or his fatwa, or his position, he used this hadith, which it has been mentioned in it, the six pillars of Iman, and from amongst those pillars of Iman is the belief in Al-Qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi, the good and the evil of Al-Qadr. The Shaykh then says four points that may be derived, Al-Fawa'id, that may be derived from this narration. The first of them is that Al-Iman has six pillars. Contrary to what some contemporary writers have written in famous books today, such as Mubadi al-Islam, the fundamentals of Islam, in which it is written that the pillars of Iman are khamsa, five. And contrary to those who have said the pillars of Iman are 16, like in that book, Islam in Focus, we should know that the pillars of Iman are six. And the proofs for it are in the Quran, as well as the Sunnah and the Ijma' of the scholars of the Muslim Ummah. Whoever doesn't believe in all of them together, then his Iman is not correct. And this hadith has numbered them. Yani, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ has numbered them as six. Number two, that al-khayr and al-shar, that good and evil are muqaddar min Allah ta'ala. That good and evil are decreed by Allah. Allah is the one who has fixed or pre-decreed both good and evil. If it befalls anyone, know that it is by the decree of Allah. Number three, the permissibility of al-half li maslahatin min ghayri istihlaf. That it is permissible to swear, to make an oath for some benefit, even if one has not been requested to take an oath. Yani, if one has not been requested to take an oath, Normally, it is better that you should not swear, just using, taking oaths lightly. But it is permissible if there is some benefit in doing so, such as in the case where Abdul ibn Umar here has made a statement of importance. And this statement was in reference to some people who came to him, informing him that there were some people who now came with this idea that they denied the belief in Al-Qadr al-Qadha. And then Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma swore by Allah that whoever doesn't believe in this, then their deeds will never be accepted because they have gone out of Islam. Number four, he says that it is mustahab, commendable or beloved or rewardable, to confirm the fatwa, an important fatwa. If somebody is making an important fatwa of great importance, it is mustahab to confirm it by making an oath, by swearing on the correctness or the truthfulness of that statement. And a fifth point that may be derived from this hadith, which has not been mentioned in the sharh, is that the deeds of the one who doesn't believe in Al-Qadr, that it's good and it's evil, their deeds would be nullified. Their deeds would be nullified. It would never be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The relationship of this narration to the chapter under discussion is that this hadith or this narration indicates the disbelief or the kufr of those who deny Al-Qadr. And this is understood from the statement of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that even if a person had gold equal to the amount of the mountain of Uhud and they spend it in the way of Allah, Allah will never accept it from them until they believe in Al-Qadr. Therefore, this is a proof that whoever doesn't believe in Al-Qadr, they are a kafir, because it is only the kafirs whose deeds Allah does not accept. Also, the relationship of this narration to the general topic of a tawheed is that this narration indicates the kufr of those who deny Al-Qadr, because denying Al-Qadr, it is a form of shirk with Allah in His rububiyyah. Denying Al-Qadr is a form of shirk with Allah in His rububiyyah. Because part of the tawheed of rububiyyah is that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator who created everything. And He is the one who owns and possesses everything in the universe. And He is the one who has complete control over all the affairs in the universe. Therefore, to believe that somebody or any creature in this universe can do whatever they will, contrary to the will of Allah, it is a negation of the tawheed of rububiyyah. Here, Shaykh al-Qara'awi, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, makes two comments, mulahaza. The first of them is that qadr has four arba'a maratib, as was mentioned by al-Imam al-Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. The first of them is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of everything before it happens. That Allah knows everything before it happens. The second of them is the writing of that. It is written with Him from the beginning, before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And number three, al-mashi'ah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will encompasses everything that exists. Nothing in His creation can escape from His will. And nothing in the creation can escape from His knowledge. And it appears as though here in the text of the book there is a mistake in which he has said, and it is printed, amalihi, Allahu a'lam, but it appears as though it is ilmihi. The meaning of this statement, it should be that nothing can escape from His will, nothing of the creatures can escape from His will, nor can they get outside of His knowledge, outside of the knowledge of Allah. Everything is within the knowledge of Allah. Number four, the fourth level is khalq, the creation, that Allah has created everything and brought it into existence. He is the creator of everything and there is no creator besides Him. Everything besides Him is created. The second point, or the second note that the Shaykh makes, is in reference to two hadith which appear on the surface to be contradictory. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, وَتُؤْمِن بِالْقَدْرِ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, that it is part of iman to believe in the qadr, it's good and it's evil. And he said in another hadith, وَالشَّرْ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ, and there's no evil attributed to you, meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reconciliation between these two hadith is that we say, if Allah decrees something of evil for the human being, then it is evil in reference to the human being himself. Yani, it befalling him is something that he takes as being something evil. However, That is because that evil befell him because of his own actions, because of his sin, as a punishment for him, or otherwise. However, in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is pure good. Khayr muhda. It is pure good. In reference to Allah, whatever He has decreed, it is pure good. And that is because what Allah has decreed, it is in accordance with what is necessitated by His hikmah, His ilm, and His adl. Yani whatever Allah decreed, it is in accordance with what is necessitated by the wisdom of Allah, and by the knowledge of Allah, and by the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't do anything except that it is just. And therefore, even though the human being may take it as being something harmful or evil to him, in the end, the wisdom behind it, or the reason behind it, it is to bring about some good. The second narration that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions in this chapter, وَعَنْ عُبَادَ ابْنِ الصَّامِتْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنُّهُ قَالَ لِإِبْنِهِ, that Ubada ibn Samit رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ said to his son, he said to his son, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَجِدَ تَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى تَعْلَمَ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْتِيَكَ وَمَا أَخْطَعَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. Ubada رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he advised his son saying, يَا بُنَيَّ, O my dear son, indeed, لَنْ تَجِدْ تَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ, you will never find the ta'm of iman, the sweetness of iman. يعني that which if a person has true iman, he will find peace and rest and tranquility in it. When the person believes in qadr properly, he will find rest in his life. He will find tranquility. Because no matter whatever happens, he knows it is by Allah's decree. And he knows that it is based on Allah's wisdom and His justice. And therefore he will accept it. And he will surrender to it, and he will be at peace and he will be at rest. He will not be second guessing. And he will not be feeling remorse. Because he knows that whatever has befallen him, it could never have passed him by. And whatever has passed him by, it could never have come to him. Therefore he is at peace with whatever happens in his life. He said, O my dear son, you will never find the ta'am, the sweetness or the taste of iman, until you know and affirm and testify to the reality that whatever has afflicted you or whatever has befallen you, ma asabaka lam yakun liyukhti'aka, whatever has befallen you, it could never have passed you by. Alhamdulillah, whatever happened in our life, when it happened, we know that Allah has decreed it, and there's no way that we could have done something different or been somewhere else, and we would have escaped from it. It is Allah's decree. So we accept it, and we find peace in that true belief. وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ, and whatever has passed you by, it was not meant to befall you. It could never have befallen you. If any good passed you by, a good job, or a good mate, a spouse, or whatever you wanted in this world, and you didn't get it, know that it wasn't for you. It wasn't for you. If it passed you by, it could never have come to you. So feel yourself, be at peace, and accept what Allah has decreed for you. He said that to his son, and then he said to him, based on what have you made this statement? سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ, I heard the Messenger of Allah, صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ, saying, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهِ الْقَلَمُ, or in some of the narrations, الْقَلَمَ, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ, that verily the first thing which Allah created was the pen. And according to the other narration, which is closer to being correct, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ, not الْخَلَمَ. In any case, the second interpretation of it is that when Allah first created the pen. Yani at the time when Allah created the pen, immediately when He created it, He said to it, write. The other meaning is that the first thing that Allah created was the pen. However, the stronger opinion of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah is that the pen was not created first, that the Arsh of Allah was created before the pen. Therefore, there are two interpretations of this narration, and it is narrated with two wordings, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمَ, that the first thing that Allah created was the pen, وَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ, that when Allah first created the pen, فَقَالَ لَهُ, He said to it, أُقْتُبْ, write. فَقَالَ رَبِّي وَمَاذَا أَقْتُبْ, and the pen said, O my Lord, what shall I write? قال اكتب مقادر كل شيء حتى تقوم الساعة. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the pen, write the maqadir of everything. Yani everything that has been decreed for everything that exists in this world, حَتَّى تَقُومَ السَّاعَةِ, until the coming of the hour of judgment. Write everything that will take place, the maqadir of everything. Yani this is a proof that everything has already been written. Everything that that happens, it is already written long time ago when Allah first created the pen. يَا بُنِيَّ, then he said to his son, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ. Also, he is giving him the proof of what he is saying from the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. I heard him saying, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى غَيْرِ هَذَا فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever dies on other than this belief that everything has already been written. This is the belief of, the true belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that everything is already written. That is the meaning of Al-Qadr, that Allah had knowledge of everything, and He wrote it, and He wills it, and He creates it. And it can't be any other way except as Allah has decreed it. He said, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى غَيْرِ هَذَا, whoever dies on other than this belief, in this way of Al-Qadr, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. The Prophet ﷺ said, then he is not from me. And he is not from my ummah. He is not from the Muslim people. He is not on my way following my deen. Because he has denied a pillar of the pillars of Iman, and he has gone out of Islam. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لِأَحْمَدٍ, in a narration of this hadith of Ubadah, رضي الله عنه, as reported in the Muslim of Imam Ahmad, he said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْقَلَمُ فَقَالَ لَهُ أُكْتُبْ. He said that when Allah first created the pen, he said to it, write. فَجَرَى فِي تِلْكَ السَّاعَةِ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then everything was written. At that time, when Allah ordered the pen to write, it wrote. It wrote everything at that very hour, at that moment, it wrote everything that is going to take place until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Everything was written at that time. That will happen up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لِإِبْنِ وَحَبْ, and in another narration of this hadith of Ubadah, from Ibn Wahab, رحمه الله, he said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ أَحْرَقَهُ اللَّهِ بِالنَّارِ. That whoever doesn't believe in the divine decree, it's good and it's evil, Allah will burn him in the fire. The Shaykh says, in the general meaning of this hadith, by the way, the narration of Imam Ahmed, it has been confirmed in the second narration of this hadith, that narration of Imam Ahmed, it has been confirmed and declared to be sahih by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, in his checking of the hadith of Kitab al-Sunnah by Ibn Abi Asim. And as for the third narration, the last part of that hadith, the narration of Ibn Wahab, I don't know if it is sahih, Allahu alam. The Shaykh says in the general meaning of this hadith, in this hadith, Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu has informed us, or he has informed us that he advised his son that al-Iman has a ta'am, it has a sweetness or a taste. Yani whoever believes in the right way, then there's a result, there's a fruit, there's a peace and tranquility and rest that he has in his life, no matter what happens, because he knows it has already been decreed by the one who is all-wise and who is just. And he said that ta'am, that taste or that sweetness, a person will never achieve it, he will never realize it, except the one who believes in the qada of Allah wa qadrihi. Except the one who believes in the qada of Allah and his qadr. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who executes what he has decreed. To believe in his qada, his execution of whatever he decreed, and to believe in his qadr, that he has pre-decreed everything before it happens, whether it is good or evil. Then he used as a proof for that some hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which he has mentioned, and which indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the pen to write the decrees of everything that will happen up until the hour of judgment, and that whoever dies not believing in the qada and the qadr, then that person is outside of the Jama'atul Muslimin. He is outside of the Muslims. And that his destination is the nar, the fire, and he will be burned in it, and evil is it as a destination. The Shaykh mentioned seven fawaid or points that may be derived from this hadith. The first of them is that it is legislated. Mashru'iyat nafs al-aba lil-abana wa ta'alimihim. Yani that it is legislated in the Sharia of Islam that parents should give advice to their children and that they should teach them. It is the responsibility of the parents. Number two, the fahm, the understanding of the Sahaba for the reality of Qadr, how they understood the reality of Qadr, وَإِمَانُهُمْ بِهِ, and that they believed in it. Number three, that the first of things which have been created is the pen. وَذَلِكَ عَلَى رِوَايَةِ الرَّفْ. The Shaykh said, this point, that the first thing which was created was the pen, is based on the riwayah of the hadith بِالرَّفْ, meaning الْقَلَمُ. الْقَلَمُ. He said it is based on this narration, however, the more it should be that the first thing which Allah created, the fact of the matter, or the more correct opinion, is that the qalam is not the first thing which Allah created, but the first thing, but Allah created before the qalam other things, whether they are known to us or seen by us in this world or not, and from amongst them is the arsh, and there is some discussion about this. If there is time, we will look at it. In any case, some of the scholars or the people of Sunnah hold that the first thing which created is the pen, as he has said here, and the other opinion is that it was not the first thing that was created. Number four, the confirmation of the sifa, or the characteristic of al-qawl, saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something. He spoke to the pen. He said to the pen, uktub. So this is a confirmed characteristic or description that may be ascribed to Allah, that He speaks. Number five, the disbelief of those who deny al-qadr, the good, it's good and it's evil. Yani the disbelief, the kufr of those who deny al-qadr, this is the ruling concerning those who deny qadr, that it is kufr, that they go outside of Islam. Number six, al-a'mal bi-khawatimiha, that actions will be judged by their final, yani the final actions. Yani a person's life will be judged by their final actions. Yani all of one's deeds will be determined, what will be the result of them, by the thing that they die on, the final thing that they do. And that's why he said, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى غَيْرِ هَذَا, whoever died on other than this. Yani whoever died, no matter whatever they did before that, whoever died on other than this, then that person is not from the community of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani they have gone out of Islam, no matter what deeds they have done before that. Number seven, إِثْبَاتْ الْوَعِيدِ لِمَنْ كَفَرَ بِالْقَدْرِ, yani the confirmation of the threat for those who disbelieve in al-qadr. Yani that the person who disbelieves in it, he is out of Islam. And according to the other narration, that person will be burned in the fire. The relationship of this hadith to the chapter under discussion is that this hadith indicates the disbelief of those who deny al-qadr. And its relationship to tawheed is that since this hadith indicates the disbelief of those who deny al-qadr, the relationship to at-tawheed is that denying al-qadr is a type of shirk with Allah in His rububiyyah. Because the denial of al-qadr, it is the affirmation that the creatures have some will that is superior or outside of the will of Allah, that they can do something other than what Allah has already decreed or what Allah wills for them, meaning His universal will, His irada al-kawniyyah. As for Allah's legal or legislated will, al-irada al-shar'iyyah, that is not what is being referred to here in reference to al-qadr. Because al-qadr is in reference to Allah's universal will, meaning that which He decrees and it must happen. Nobody can go outside of that will. Here the Shaykh makes a note, and he says that whichever of those which were created first, whether it is the arsh of Allah, Allah's throne, or the qalam, or the pen, he said, it is said that the first of them was the arsh, and it is said that the first of them is the pen. And whoever said that the first of them is the pen, they use as a proof this narration in this hadith. Yani that the first thing that Allah created was the pen. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهِ الْقَلَمَ. It should be الْقَلَمَ, according to that opinion. And those... Yani that though the first thing that Allah created is the pen is based on this understanding of that hadith. And as for those who say that the first thing was the arsh of Allah, then they used a different narration of this hadith, that when Allah first created the pen, He said to it, write. And they also use many other authentic hadith which show that in the beginning, yani before the creation of the pen and before Allah ordered the pen to write, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne was in existence. And if there's time, we may look at some of the hadith of those who hold the second opinion. The last evidence that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions is that which is reported وفي المسند, يعني in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, والسنن, and in the books of Sunan, including the Sunan of Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah, and Ibn al-Daylami. And it is reported from Ibn al-Daylami, that is Abdullah ibn Fayruz al-Daylami, rahimahullah, a well-known scholar from amongst the Tabi'een. قال, he said, أتيتُ أُبَيْ ابن كعب. I came to Ubay ibn Ka'ab رضي الله عنه, فقلتُ في نفسي شيء من القدر, فحدثني بشيء لعل الله يذهبه من قلبي. يعني ابن الديلمي رحمه الله had some problem, some doubt about al-Qadr. He said, I went to Ubay ibn Ka'ab, one of the scholars of Sahaba رضي الله عنه, and I said to him that there is something in myself, within me, يعني some doubt, shak, some doubt concerning al-Qadr. فحدثني بشيء, so narrate to me something. لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يُذْهِبَهُ مِنْ قَلْبِي. Perhaps by that which you narrate to me, the proof that you give me, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause that doubt to be removed from my heart. فَقَالَ, so Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu said to him, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَحَبًا مَا قَبِلَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْكَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ وَتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ وَمَا أَقْطَعَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. He said, Ubay رضي الله عنه said to him, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مِثْلَ أُحُدْ ذَحَبًا, if you had spent, يعني in charity in the way of Allah, that which is equal to Uhud, to the mountain of Uhud, in gold, Allah would never accept it from you until you believe in Al-Qadr. يعني he was encouraging him and showing him the importance of belief in Al-Qadr, that actually whoever doesn't believe in Al-Qadr, he will not be in Islam, and his deeds will never be accepted. Therefore, it is essential and of necessity that you have to believe in it. He said, even if you had wealth, gold, equal to Uhud, and you spent it in the way of Allah, Allah would never accept it from you until you believe in Al-Qadr. وَتَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْتِيَكَ, and that whatever has befallen you, it would never have passed you by, and whatever has passed you by, it would never have befallen you. وَلَوْ مُتَّ عَلَى غَيْرِ, also narrated to him something similar from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani he went to Ubay, and he also went to Abd ibn Mas'ud, and he went to Hudhayfa, and he went to Zayd ibn Thabit with the same issue, and every one of them have narrated to him something similar to what Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu mentioned to him from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says, hadithun sahih rawahu al-hakim fi sahihihi, that it is an authentic hadith reported by Al-Hakim in his Sahih. And perhaps he means by his Sahih, Al-Mustadrak. Because Al-Hakim doesn't have a book called Sahih. But it is, perhaps he is referring to Al-Mustadrak. And that hadith we have not found in Mustadrak. However, it has been reported by Al-Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, and reported by Abu Dawood in his Sunan, and Ibn Majah in his Sunan. And it has been reported by Ibn Abi Asim in his book Kitab al-Sunnah, a book concerning Al-Aqidah. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah has declared that hadith to be sahih in his taqreej of his sunnah in his book Zilal al-Jannah. Said that hadith is sahih. Concerning the general meaning of this hadith, Shaykh al-Qara'awi, he says that in this hadith Ibn al-Daylami rahimahullah informs us of what he experienced within himself of doubt concerning the subject of al-Qadr, the doubt that he experienced within his heart. And he wanted to get some clarification of the matter from the people of knowledge, from the people who are the people who should be asked for clarification. And he wanted to take the knowledge concerning this matter from its source. So he asked some of the qura of the Sahaba, yani those who recite Quran, not like the qura of today, who just recite beautifully, but those qura. The Qari of Qur'an in that time was one who recited the Qur'an, and who memorized the Qur'an, and who knew the meaning of the Qur'an, and who acted in accordance with it. But the Qari today is just somebody who recites beautifully. But he went to those people who knew the meaning of Qur'an, from amongst Sahaba, the ulama, the scholars of Sahaba, including Ubay ibn Ka'ab, and Abd ibn Mas'ud, and Zayd ibn Thabit, and Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And they answered him with that which confirmed the qada of Allah and the qadr of Allah. Allah's divine decree and His execution of it. It's good and it's evil. And they use as a proof for that, that which has been authentically reported in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, determining that the deeds of the one who doesn't believe in qada of Allah and the qadr of Allah, their deeds would never be accepted. Allah would not accept their deeds, even if they are good, and even if they are plenty. Because whoever denies the qadr, he is not a muttaqi. He is not a person who has taqwa, and Allah only accepts the deeds of the people of taqwa, al-muttaqeen. From the benefits of this hadith, he mentions four. The first of them is the obligation of asking a question from the Ahlul Ilm, and if I'm going to the people of knowledge to ask about that which its ruling is unknown to you. Number two, the comprehensiveness of the fiqh of the Sahaba, of the understanding of the Sahaba and their knowledge, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Number three, the kufr or the disbelief, yani the ruling of kufr for the one who denies al-qadr. And number four, that one's deeds would be finally determined by the last of one's actions. Yani, and that is also understood in this hadith from the statement of Ubay, وَلَوْ مُتَّ عَلَى غَيْرِ هَذَا. Yani, what you died upon, that would be the final determining factor. If you died on other than this, لَكُنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. You would indeed be of the people of fire. And in another narration of this hadith, or the same hadith as is reported in the Kitab al-Sunnah by Ibn Abi Asim, actually the wording of the hadith there is adkhalta an-nar, that you would be admitted into the fire. Yani the meaning is the same, the wording slightly different. The relationship of this hadith to the chapter under discussion is that this hadith indicates the disbelief of those who deny al-qadr, and the relationship of this hadith to the general topic of at-tawheed is that while this hadith, yani that the reason why this hadith indicates the kufr of those who deny al-qadr is because the denial of al-qadr is a form of shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His rububiyyah. The masail that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned at the end of this chapter, that I'm being called? The masail, quickly as possible, because there are nine. The masail that he has mentioned here, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, with a brief explanation from Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Number one, the first of them is clarification of the obligation of having iman in al-qadr. Clarification of the obligation of having iman in al-qadr. And this is based on the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that iman is believing in Allah and the angels and the books and the prophets in the last day and believing in al-qadr. It's good and it's evil. The second point is clarification of kayfiyat al-iman. Yani the clarification of how that iman should be, the iman in qadr. How is that iman? Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, how is the qadr, how is it supposed to be the iman and the qadr? It is to believe that whatever has befallen someone, it could not have passed them by. And whatever has passed them by, it would not befall them. This is how you are to believe in al-qadr. Here, Shaykh Muhammad says that the author, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, has not mentioned the levels of qadr, the maratib of qadr. He has not mentioned them here. However, we have mentioned them, and that they are four. And these are also important to believe in. That is, part of the way to believe in al-qadr is to believe that it has four levels, or four degrees. That it includes belief that Allah knows everything before it happened, and that Allah has had it written, and that nothing happens except by His will, and everything that exists in this world, the creatures and their actions, it is all the creation of Allah. The third issue, إِحْبَاطُ عَمَلِي مَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِهِ, يعني the nullification of the actions of the one who doesn't believe in al-qadr, the nullification of the actions. And this is understood from the hadith of Ibn Umar. He said that if any one of you had gold equal to the mount of Uhud and he spent it in the way of Allah, Allah would never accept it from him until he believes in al-qadr. And also, that which branches out from what has been mentioned here, يعني a branch of this statement, is that this statement also indicates that whoever doesn't believe in al-qadr, that he is a kafir. Yani we understand that if his deeds are not accepted, whoever doesn't believe in al-qadr, then we also understand that whoever doesn't believe in al-qadr, he is a kafir, because the kafir is the one whose deeds are not accepted by Allah. The fourth issue, or the fourth of the masail, it is الإخبار أن أحدا لا يجد طعم الإيمان حتى تؤمن به. يعني that we are informed that no one will find the ta'am of al-Iman, the sweetness of Iman, the raha, the rest, or the tama'nina, the tranquility that a believer experiences when he believes in Iman. No one will experience that sweetness unless he believes in the divine decree, the qadr of Allah. Because it is this belief that gives rest to the human being, when he knows that nothing can happen except it has been decreed by Allah. And therefore he never says that if I had done such and such and so, then that wouldn't have happened. But he says, قَدْرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَعَ فَعَ It is مَا شَعَ فَعَلْ That it is Allah's decree, and he does whatever he wills, because indeed, يعني, such belief or such statement or such an idea that if somebody had done it differently, then it would have happened differently. It is a denial that whatever has happened is by Allah's decree, and it couldn't happen any other way. The fifth issue is the mention that the first thing which Allah created, the mention of the first thing which Allah created, and he says here that it appears from the statement of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab that he is inclined towards the position that the first thing which was created by Allah is the pen. However, the correct opinion is contrary to that. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen says the correct opinion is contrary to that. But in fact, the pen was not the first thing that was created, because it is confirmed in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ قَبْلَهُ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there, and there was nothing before him, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ And his throne was on the water that Allah had created. ثُمَّ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَتَبَ فِي الذِّكْرِ مَقَادِرَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ Then after that, he created the heavens and the earth, and he wrote everything that would be decreed for whatever he has created. From this hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, it is clear that the position of those who said that the pen was not the first thing that was created, but that the arsh was created before it, it is the more correct opinion. Naam. The sixth issue is that the events that were going to take place were written in that time. Yani at the time when Allah created the pen and he said to it, write, everything was written that would take place until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is yani what is taken from the wording of the hadith, فَجَرَى فِي تِلْكَ السَّاعَةِ بِمَا هُوَ كَانِ إِلَى يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ Then everything that was going to take place until the Day of Judgment was written at that very moment, at that hour. And then the Shaykh, and he mentioned some other points here, but for lack of time, anyway, the seventh point. The seventh point is Bara'atuhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min man lam yu'min bihi, that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has declared his innocence, that he has nothing to do with the one who doesn't believe in al-qadr wal-qadha. And this is understood from his statement, min mata ala ghayri hadha, falaysa minni. Whoever dies without believing in this, then he is not from me. And he said that this Bara'a, it is mutlaqan. It is absolute, yani that the Prophet ﷺ absolutely has nothing to do with the one who doesn't believe in al-qadr, because he is a kafir, kufran mukhrij an al-millah. He is a kafir whose kufr takes him out of Islam completely. Number eight, the eighth issue is adat al-salaf fi izalat al-shubha bi su'al al-ulama, that it was the custom or the habit of the righteous predecessors from the Muslim ummah, from amongst Sahaba and Tabi'in and those who followed them, to remove doubtful matters, that they used to ask a question from the ulama. If they had a doubt, they would go to the people of knowledge. They would go to the people of knowledge. And this is understood from Ibn Daylami when he said, I also went to Abd al-Mas'ud, Hudayf ibn Iman, Zayd ibn Thabit, after he went to Ubay ibn Ka'b. And this indicates that it was from the habit or the custom of the righteous predecessors to ask about that which was unclear to them. And there's another issue, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen says, here another issue that is not mentioned by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and that is the permissibility of asking more than one scholar for confirmation of an issue. Yani, if somebody asks one scholar, and they want to just confirm what they have said, not to escape because they don't like the answer and they look for another answer, but to confirm that what they have been told is correct, it is permissible. As Ibn Daylami, he went to Ubay ibn Ka'b, and after that he went to Abd al-Mas'ud, and he went to Hudhayfa ibn Yaman. And he went to Zayd ibn Thabit, and he asked again and again and again for confirmation. However, going from one scholar to another in order to seek an answer that is pleasing to you, to seek a permission to do something that has been prohibited by the scholar that you have asked, this is what is يعني, rejected and not allowed by the scholars of Sunnah. Number 7 or number 9, the last issue, that the scholars answered him with that which removes doubt, and that is that they attributed their speech, the answer that they gave to him, they attributed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only. Yani when they answered him about such an important matter, they gave him an answer, yani a statement that came directly from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is understood from his statement, yani Ibn Daylami, kulluhum haddathani bimithli dhalika an an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that every one of them gave me an answer similar to that, but from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what removes all doubt for the true believer, and it is only beneficial to the one who believes, and it's not beneficial to those who disbelieve, to quote to them that which has been stated by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Sheikh Muhammad gives a long discussion concerning evidences, and he said that not only the evidences yani, that come from the Quran and Sunnah are allowed, but it is also allowed to use evidences from the intellect. Adillat al-aql, it is allowed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used it in the Quran, and adillat hissiyah, yani evidences from that which we experience around us, and also evidences dalil al-fitra, yani that which is in the nature of the human being. All of these evidences are also allowed, and he gives some examples of them. However, for lack of time, it is not possible to mention them here. We'll stop here. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Let's look at the questions quickly from the handout. يعني, as briefly as possible, try to answer these questions. The first question: explain the argument and proof of Ibn Umar for his statement that one's good deed would not be accepted by Allah unless and until he believes in al-qadr. The argument of Ibn Umar, رضي الله عنهما, that a person's deeds would not be accepted until they believe in Al-Qadr, is that whoever doesn't believe in Al-Qadr, then his Iman is negated. Because to disbelieve in one rukn of the arkan of Iman is kufr. Therefore, his argument was that whoever disbelieves in one rukn, one pillar, then he has disbelieved. Therefore, his deeds will never be accepted. And his proof for his argument is the hadith, Hadith Jibreel, which the portion of it is mentioned here, that Iman is believing in Allah and the angels and the books and the prophets in the last day, and belief in the Qadr, it's good and it's evil. The second question: mentioned the four maratib or levels required for the belief in Al-Qadr to be complete. The four levels are Al-Ilm, knowledge, that Allah has knowledge of everything, Al-Kitaba, the writing, that Allah has had everything written, Al-Mashi'ah, that nothing happens except by the will of Allah, and Al-Khalq, that everything that exists is part of Allah's creation, is from Allah's creation. Number 3, explain the argument and proof of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu for his statement that whatever befalls you was not going to miss you, and whatever passed you by was not going to befall you. Yani the argument of Ubadah here is that a person would not have the ta'am of Iman, the true taste of faith, until he believes this. Yani this part of Iman and Qadr, that whatever befalls you was not going to pass you, and whatever has passed you could not have befallen you. Until you believe this, then you will not taste the sweetness and the tranquility and the rest and comfort that a believer has when he believes truly in Al-Qadr. That was his argument, that a person will not enjoy this until he believes in Al-Qadr. And the proof for his statement is the hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, that the first thing Allah created was the pen. Or when Allah first created the pen, he said to it, write. And the pen wrote everything, yani everything that was going to take place until Yawmul Qiyamah. Therefore, everything is already written, it is already pre-decreed, and it cannot happen any other way than the way that Allah knew it, according to His knowledge. It will not be different than what Allah knew, it will not be different from what Allah wrote, and it will not be different from what Allah willed in His universal will, Al-Irada Al-Kawniyah. Therefore, if a person doesn't accept this, then he will suffer anxiety and grief and remorse, and he will not enjoy the ta'am, the sweetness of Iman. What is meant by ta'am Iman in the statement of Ubadah? You will never experience the ta'am of Iman until you know what befalls you, until you know that what befalls you was not going to miss you, and whatever passed you by was not going to befall you. The ta'am of Iman It means the raha or the ta'manina. Yani it means the rest or the tranquility or the peace that one experiences. The ta'am of iman, it means the peace and tranquility that the believer experiences if they accept the true belief in al-qadha wa qadha. Explain the other interpretation of the statement. The first thing Allah created was the pen. The other interpretation of the statement is that when Allah first created the pen, when Allah first created the pen, not that the first thing He created the pen, but when He first created it, at the time when He created it, He said to it, write, and it said, what shall I write? And then He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to it, write everything that is going to take place until Yawmul Qiyamah. What is the hukum or the legal ruling for one who denies al-qadr? The hukum or the legal ruling for the one who denies or rejects al-qadr, it is al-kufr, that person has gone out of Islam. Kufr, mukhrij an al-millah, the kufr that takes the person out of Islam completely. He is not a Muslim. He should not be buried in the cemetery of the Muslims. He should not be prayed over, and so on. He should not be inherited from. And likewise, discuss the statement of Ubay ibn Ka'b, and if you died on other than this, you would definitely be one of the people of hellfire. The meaning of this statement is that whoever died on other than this belief, as he has explained it in the Qadr of Allah, whoever dies on other than this, then that person has died in kufr, and therefore he would definitely be of the Ahlun Nar, the people who are destined to enter the hellfire and remain in it forever. Not the disobedient, sinful ones of the believers who might be punished in the hellfire for some time according to their deeds if they didn't repent from them. If Allah wills, He may forgive them, and if He wills, He may punish them justly, and then they will come out and enter the paradise. What is the relationship of this chapter to the subject of At-Tawheed? The relationship of this chapter to the subject of At-Tawheed is that this chapter indicates that the one who denies Al-Qadr, that he has nullified his iman. By disbelieving in one pillar of the pillars of Islam, he has nullified his iman and nullified at tawheed. Because part of the tawheed, or one of the aspects of tawheed, is tawheed ar-rububiyyah. And this is a clear nullification or negation of tawheed ar-rububiyyah. Yani the belief that Allah is the one who controls all the affairs of the universe and that nothing happens in His universe except that He wills it. Whoever denies this, then that person has negated the tawheed and their iman. If there are any questions from the brothers or any corrections or comments, perhaps there's a couple of moments, maybe 1 or 2 minutes. Huh? Naam. Naam. Mother? Is it what? Naam. It's shirk also, naam. It's shirk in rububiyyah. And it's shirk in that we attribute some authority or some independence in acting in this universe. Attributing it to other than Allah, it is shirk, because it is the right of Allah to control everything that happens in His universe. Therefore, if we attribute the right to anyone other than Him to act according to their will, independent of what Allah has decreed, that means we have made them also having some rububiyyah. And that is shirk in rububiyyah.